Welcome to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera, and you're listening to 1030 The Voice on a Wednesday afternoon. Another busy day. In fact, we're going to go to the phone lines right away, talk to Walt Ruff of the Tucson Roadrunners. How are you, Walt? Thanks for joining me.
Steve, I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me, as always.
Yes, yes. I was at your offices today. You had not arrived. I spoke to Keith and Bill talking about the business side of it. The good, smart guys.
I had heard you were coming in today. Sorry, I was probably over at practice. It's the guys are finally back in town. They'd been practicing up in Chandler the past few days. We had Monster Jam over the weekend here at the TCC, so the ice is finally back in, and that's probably where I was this morning.
It's funny. Now that you mentioned that, could you tell me the hoops and the whatever you have to jump through, the hoops, whatever you want to word, because that's a busy place, the TCC. You know, now with the Sugar Skulls, you talked about the event over the weekend. How tough is it to find time?
Yeah, it's something, you know, I think really the people who deserve the most credit are probably the Tucson Convention Center changeover staff and obviously our hockey operations department, because there are a couple scenarios throughout the year. Obviously, when we had talked last, we were talking about the Gem Show trip that kind of relocates us for a few weeks. And then there's always these things that go on over here. I know March is going to be a crazy month for there over them. Over there at the TCC, it's funny, when I'd walked in the building on Thursday, you know, it's like your ice is gone, and it's almost as if you wouldn't know it existed there, because there's how many tons and tons of dirt. The center hang speakers are gone, and so it's funny, sometimes, you know, you'll walk in there one day and it's I don't know if winter wonderland's the right way to put it, but it's cold, and you can certainly tell the ice is down, and the next day it's a concert, the next day it's a Monster Jam, the next day it's a football game. So it's always interesting. So a big kudos to the Tucson Convention Center staff for making it all work, really.
Yes, you kind of transitioned for me. We talked after the Gem Show, I think briefly, but before the Gem Show started in early February, you guys were rolling, I think, in the top two, doing very well, and now there's been a little slide. What's been the biggest thing? Call-ups, injuries, whatever?
Yeah, it's really those two things. Honestly, Steve, you hit the nail on the head. You know, just as we think we're getting back and we're getting healthy, you know, for example, last week, Coyote center Derek Stepan goes down with a knee injury for 4 to 6 weeks, so we lose another guy. You know, we had a couple of guys, Christian Dvorak and Jason Demers, down here recently on rehab assignments, and then just as they go up, somebody else leaves the lineup up there. So it's really just been a tough year. I mean, you know, you can make excuses any which way you want, but the fact of the matter is we are the development team. That's what we're here for. The Arizona Coyotes being just 2 points out of a playoff spot right now, obviously that's what we're here to help. We're here to assist with them. It's coming a little bit of a cost for us, unfortunately, but there's still 6 weeks to go in the regular season, including a busy, busy March. So we're only 3 points outside of the playoffs right now, and we do have two games to make up on the team in front of us. So not really a time for panic yet, but it's certainly the landscape has certainly changed a little bit within the last month.
You said 6 weeks left. You guys start, I think, in November, correct, to start the season?
Early October.
Early October, even better to my point. Does it seem, I don't know this is a question for you to answer, but I'm sure as an administrator, Derek, you could answer it, that it seems like it's a long season. And when things don't go well, you know how the things compound in terms of winning solves a lot of things, obviously. And then when you start to kind of mull the season and you're not even, what, maybe 75% of the way through, it kind of says, is this ever going to end, or we have time to get this thing correct?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's certainly, you know, being where we are right now is not a bad place to be. You'd rather be where we are right now than as opposed to, you know, not to disrespect them by any means, but a team like Ontario that's coming to town this weekend, and that's who we play against. They're in dead last in the division. Unfortunately, their season's been over for a little bit now. They've also been on the wrong side of, you know, injuries and call-ups for the Los Angeles Kings organization. So to be where we are right now is much better than where we could be.
Yeah.
I'll say that. And, you know, breaking the season down into 10-game stretches, obviously games 41 through 50 where we had just concluded were the toughest stretch for us. But again, a lot of games left to be played, 18 to go. Lots of things could happen between now and then, including games. The only games that don't come against teams in front of us are only two. So 16 out of 18 remaining are very, very important divisional games. So we're okay with that.
Yeah, no question. Within striking distance, too. I don't know if you follow horse racing. I actually have a guy coming on next hour where you're not in the lead, you're not in second, but you're like ready to pounce on the fourth position, from the fourth position.
Exactly. I think that's a great way to put it.
Yeah. So what's going on now? You have a couple of games here in the next week or so?
Yes, we do. We are finally back home Friday and Saturday, 7 o'clock at Tucson Arena both nights. Friday night is going to be an awesome opportunity. $10 tickets for the first $2,000 individual game tickets sold. We still have a few hundred remaining there. That's thanks to the Arizona Daily Star. So that's a considerable savings for some tickets. So definitely check that out. If you haven't been to a game this year, $10 we'd like to think is a pretty small margin for someone to come on out. And then Saturday is a Shane Doan bobblehead giveaway. Obviously the iconic Coyotes figure who just had his jersey number retired by the Arizona Coyotes last week up in Glendale. We're going to do our best to honor him down here. And we'd like to think even for folks who aren't the go-hard hockey fans, coming to a game and getting a bobblehead is still cool, right?
Yeah, sure is. I collect those things. Mostly mine have turned into just heads because the bodies have been broken.
Yeah.
But that's cool. I was there with Keith this morning, an impressive guy. You could tell that he's been around, has some great marketing ideas, kind of, you know, that New York, East Coast kind of guy, got that right away. But you guys have some good people working for you, kind of coming up with these crazy things.
Yeah, well, we appreciate you coming in. Keith's great. We're certainly happy to have him as a part of our front office staff. And, you know, we've talked about this in the past before. That's something we certainly strive to do. We strive to be a fan-friendly environment here, even within the office. Again, with this only being our third year here in Tucson, we're really still trying to settle our roots in and become that reputable organization that we want people to know that they can come to for good customer service and just an all-around good time. So that's certainly something we strive for on an everyday basis and here, even when it's not a game day or the team's not home.
You said there's 6 weeks left in the regular season. How many games would that entail?
18.
Oh, yeah. So plenty of time to kind of maneuver your way to the top of the top four.
Yes, absolutely.
Is it top four, right?
Yep. Top four in the division make the playoffs. There's seven teams in our division as of right now. Again, we're only 3 points back. So there's certainly a lot of options of which way this could go, including we see Colorado here in Tucson. That's the team right ahead of us. They come to town at the end of March. So eight of our next 10 home games are at home, and they're going to be very important games. So we'd love to have Tucson come out and support us and give the guys that extra juice in the crowd.
You talk about support. Can I ask you, what's the average attendance these days?
Right around or just shy of 5,000.
Well, that's great. Isn't that great?
Past the 6,500, so we'll certainly take it. We've been really good on Saturday nights at home. I don't think we've had a Saturday all season where we've been under 5,000. Those are certainly nights where we've been closer to that 6,500 mark, including on our last Saturday home game, February 23rd, we had 6,375, so about 100 tickets short of being at maximum capacity in here. And we start to generally see that every season in the second half. You know, during the first half of the year, you've got high school football on Fridays and college football on Saturday nights. So this is really the time of the year where the crowds start to ramp up for us, and we're certainly excited and trying our best to put on a good show.
To put things into perspective, last year at this time, where were you as a team, and did you just catch fire at the right time?
Last season was a little bit different. We had three first-round selections of the Arizona Coyotes down here, Dylan Strome, Lawson Krause, and Nick Merkley. And they were kind of our, you know, our head honchos, per se. They were our top line that was really scoring for us almost all season long. Last season, we had the privilege of being in first place really from the entire get-go, from October all the way through April. So it was a little bit of a different ball game last year. This year, the Lawson Krause has been up at the Arizona Coyotes the entire year. Dylan Strome's been in the NHL the entire year. So we only have one of those three guys, and Nick Merkley missed the start of the year due to an injury. So a little bit different in terms of the makeup and the dynamic of the team. We've been much more of a defensively reliant team this year. Our goaltenders have kind of had to pave the way, which they've done a really good job at. Aiden Hill are number one goaltenders in the top 10 in the American Hockey League in both goals against average and save percentage. So just a different team makeup-wise, but you know, we're thankful to be within that striking distance that we talked about earlier with all things considered.
Yeah, no question, which is always fortunate because you never know what's going to happen, and it looks like you guys will be able to turn this around, especially if you have games with Ontario, and was it Colorado right behind you?
Yeah, certainly. Those are, it's at this time of year, you know, the AHL does a good job of structuring the schedule to which these important games are played at the most important time of year, really.
Yeah, no, perfect. Hey, Walt, thanks for calling in. We'll probably talk to you soon, maybe in a week or so, to see where you guys are at as the playoffs kind of loom.
Perfect. That sounds great, Steve. Thank you so much for having us on, as always.
Yes, thank you, Walt. That was Walt Ruff of the Tucson Roadrunners. Here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. You know, I'm always concerned about Bob.
Thank you.
Like you're concerned about me.
Well, thank you for your concern. Thank you for your concern.
Yes. A big week, kind of. Hey, on the second hour, we're going to have Jay Weiss of the Rolito Racetrack and the Foundation here at the Pima Pound, you know, the Horse Foundation. So talk about what's going on over there. There's some weird things going on in California regarding horses. Santa Anita Park is going to close for the rest of the week. Apparently the horses are dying over there. 21 so far. They're getting injured on the track. We're not going to talk about that much here, but it's very strange. It happens from time to time. There must be something going on with the racetrack.
The conditions.
It has been really wet in Southern California. So. That's an issue. Could be an issue.
21,
yeah.
That's horrible.
Very strange.
Sorry to hear that.
So they're closing it down, see what's going on with the track. And it's one of the well-renowned tracks in the world, if not the country, you know, in the world, including the country, obviously. So we'll talk a little about that with Jay. We'll talk about what's going on here this weekend at the track. We have a big game on Saturday. I'm trying to get, and it looks like I'm going to get, Mr. Bill Frieder here in the next day or so. Talk to him about the ASU U of A rivalry as he saw it as the coach at ASU. Have you ever heard?
Yeah, I remember him.
The commercials with him and Lute, you know, him being the goofy guy and Lute being the straight guy and those, how funny they were. Bill's a good friend. I enjoy talking to him. He calls me Riviera.
Hey, Riviera. How you doing? How you doing, Riviera? What do you need now?
So I'm hoping to get him in the next couple days, and then we'll talk to, I'm hoping to get a player or two from the good old days of Arizona's basketball lore, to talk about the rivalry and then get ready for Saturday's game. We're not sure how healthy Chase Jeter will be, on Saturday. Sean, was it yesterday? Monday, talked about his health and whether or not he was going to play. He wasn't sure. But he's been nursing that knee injury. It didn't look promising to me, but I would say it's maybe 50-50 that he'll play. If he does not play, I don't think Arizona has a chance to beat ASU at all, even if they're in Tucson, because they need Chase. They need Chase to win a lot more games than they have.
Disappointing.
It's disappointing. We used that word yesterday. Not heartbreaking, just disappointing.
Yeah, well, it might be. Heartbreaking Saturday. What'd you say? What time is it? 7 or
Saturday?
Yeah,
2 o'clock.
Oh, two.
2 o'clock on CBS. CBS. You get CBS?
You don't. Yes, you told me that. Yeah, broadcast. I think we got some coat hangers. We'll make that happen.
You're like in 1979.
Oh gosh, tell me about it.
Yeah.
And the house is all tore up, but we are excited about the Sugar Skulls.
You know what? They're going to be broadcast on the CW too. They're not going to be on YouTube. You get to watch them on the CW. But you're going to the game.
We are going to the game, and we're looking forward to it. And I what was it? Oh, the councilman was on Bill's show, and he said, what did he say? He said it's a lot of stimulation while you're there, like overload. He said there's so much going on, yeah, and the energy and the volume and everything. He said, I think I could hang for a while, so I'm thinking of my – Our 10-year-old being on auditory and visual overload. I don't know. What, you been to indoor football before?
No, but it's going to be cool for her. I mean, she's obviously very bright. In talking to her. Yeah, no, I think she's going to enjoy it. She'll probably say, hey, this dad, we've got to come back.
Maybe I'll get worn out, huh?
Yeah, he says, Dad, I got to get a paper route to afford these tickets.
What's Uncle Mike Fader's number again, Bob? Dad?
Can you have him adopt us? That's cool. Hey, just in to Sugar Skull's defensive back, D. Meggett Jr., was named the IFL's Defensive Player of the Week. After last week, he had a couple of interceptions, one in the second half, one in this first half. So good things already happening to the Sugar Skulls, 1-0 as they play Bismarck on Sunday afternoon. I think it's at 3, I'll be there as one of the media guys trying to figure out what to write about. Should be a lot of fun. I'm expecting probably more than 5,000 people. That's why I asked Walt Ruff how many people that show up in his games regularly, and he said more than 5,000. That's pretty good. I think the capacity is 6.5. 5,000 to watch hockey. If the Sugar Skulls can get, you know, 5.5 every game, man, that'd be great. Great. It'd be rocking. The place will be rocking. And we don't know how good they are. Apparently, up to the weekend game with San Diego, I guess the owners of the San Diego team kind of fired a bunch of people. Fired, let go. They're going to do some more tryouts, I guess, for the team, or pick up some new players, because he was pretty upset with what happened against Tucson. And if you remember, if you watch the game on YouTube, it was funny, because one of the moments there was they weren't ready to have the season start on them, and they're obviously a first year program too. And the mics didn't work when the ref was talking about the penalties and stuff. So they had somebody on a mic go run out to the midfield and have the referee speak into the mic so they would know what kind of foul there was or infraction there was. It was kind of funny, at least on YouTube it was. And then there weren't very many people there. I think someone said yesterday, or I saw, that it was like more than 300 people in the stands. It looked kind of dry from the perspective of the camera. You saw just a smattering of people in the stands. I didn't realize it was only about 300. That's not good. That's not good, especially when you're trying to build a reputation of being a pretty good franchise. 300 people, but you know, then again, you're in San Diego, so you know, you're going to hit the beach, you're going to do a lot of different things, get stuck in traffic, yada yada, instead of going to into an indoor game. Are you okay, Bob?
You're getting all tight. I left my earbuds at home, so these headphones are attacking me. Hey, if I wanted to find you on Sunday, or Mary Lou wanted to come over and say hi.
I don't know.
Where do we,
I don't know.
It's so where's the press area for?
I don't know.
They don't tell you that?
No, we don't know. We'll get there. I've never been to a game there before.
Oh.
So, yeah, I've never covered hockey there. I haven't really done many events there. I covered a boxing event. I don't know if you remember. You don't really follow sports, but there was a guy named Butterbean. Butterbean, he was a boxer. Big dude. Kind of like one of those bouncer boxers.
Okay.
Who'd kick your butt if you were like at Wildcat House or something, one of those guys.
I used to DJ there years
ago. Oh, did you? Okay, so you kind of know they had those kind of events where they kind of had these big dudes fight in the ring, and he was one of those guys. Butterbean, he fought at the TCC. I covered his fight maybe 25 years ago, 20 years ago. I covered the Macho Camacho Jr. fight there.
Really?
Crazy fight there. Boxing is very, it's my favorite sport to write about, because you never know what's going to happen, and the personalities involved, they love to talk to the media, and they're great stories, but they're also crazy.
Also crazy. MMA stuff?
Yeah, no boxing.
Right, but I mean, it's crazy like stuff.
Yeah. Well, you have those backgrounds of, you know, Hardscrabble or, you know, whatever, they pick themselves off the ground with the bootstraps, yada yada. But they're just great stories, compelling stories. They're willing to tell you them. And if you like telling stories, those are the stories you want to know. But then and then they beat the crap out of people
for a living.
For a living, yeah.
Fantastic.
It's a tough way to live. It's a tough way to make a living, man.
Yeah, it certainly is. Well, I was going to say we'll bring our binoculars, but I think in an indoor football game that'll blow my eyes out to look for you.
Yeah. No. You could probably find me. It's pretty tight in there. You can probably find me. I'll be the good-looking guy on the other side.
On the other side.
Yeah.
You're right. You do know which side you're on? You don't even know that?
No.
Wherever it is, You'll be on the other side from me is what you're saying.
Just like on this screen, baby.
Keep us separated.
Yes. Like they have here with a glass of kosher.
Well, I can scratch at the door. Maybe somebody will let me out to come over.
No, I don't think so. We won't even. Who's that? Who's that? That's Bob. Never mind.
I
security. I have my phone 911. I just have to hit send.
I do have the gift certificate you gave me for Christmas, but I have the feeling if I take it to one of the booths to buy something, it'll end up being something for my daughter.
Oh, really? I thought you already bought your hat.
I actually got that hat before you gave me the gift certificate.
Oh, okay.
So then you gave me that. So now I'm you saw me peeking on the website a minute ago. I'm looking at whatever. But those pink women's outfits for like a hoodie or whatever, she'd probably.
A man can never have enough hats.
I don't know if they'll let it wear it at school, but you know, make good pajamas or I don't know, keep her.
Oh, look at you, dad of the year.
Oh, I'm a pushover. My wife is very good at saying, nope, we're not buying you anything, and then I'm like, yeah, you want a shirt? $80. Okay, sweet. Your mom will kill me, but. I have you wrapped around my finger, don't I, Dad?
Yes. Hey, let's go to break here already. That was a quick 15 minutes of sports gibberish, kind of. Was I flipping my response to you of where I'll be? I don't know where I'll be. But anybody who wants to come and say hello to me, that's fine. Any listeners? I'm trying to see if we can get a tent out there. I got your email, Bob. I don't know. I have yet to hear from anybody at the Sugar Skulls. So we'll see what we do. At some point, maybe.
I think that'd be great.
Glad to get your talent there. Is that however you describe it?
Sure.
We'll see.
I don't know what talent I would really need other than talking to people, but I can talk to people.
Oh,
sure.
Boy, can you talk to people.
Talk to people on the phone. And I mentioned I'll be at the Grooves event.
Friday night.
Yeah, thank you.
Friday night. Yes.
I'll show up. It's at a casino, and my wife won't let me forget.
Okay.
It's like the ponies, only it's with a machine.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I've heard.
Stay away. Stay away there.
No big deal for me. I'm a craps table guy, and they don't have that here.
No. Oh, good to know. Good to know.
Yeah, right.
Hey, so they're going to play in Vegas next week. We're not sure if it's a Wednesday or Thursday, more likely on a Wednesday. They're kind of vying for positions, jockeying for positions, if you will, for Thursday or Wednesday, but it looks like it's going to be more Wednesday. They could be out, and I'm not going. This is the first time I'm not going to go in a long time.
Sure.
Because I don't know if it's going to be a one-day stay, one-night stay, two-day stay, drive back, blah, blah, blah.
So a Steve Rivera question would be, if they go all the way, will you be disappointed you didn't go?
Yes, I would be disappointed.
Shocked beyond belief, too.
I would be saying, wow, this would have been a perfect time to go with the team because the stories involved would have been crazy.
Handle it for you while you're gone.
Sure, you can meet the
Gloria?
Deadlines.
Me and Gloria?
You and Gloria? Yeah, you'd have to meet the deadlines, come in with good stories and funny
stories.
Well,
I didn't say that.
Oh, you just said I can handle it.
Yeah. I didn't handle it well.
No room reservation.
Deadlines.
Deadlines.
Oh, to write my story while I'm here. No, I'll handle here.
Oh, handle here.
Yeah, you go to the game.
Oh, yeah. No,
what,
no.
What would I say about the game?
I've kind of not, this may be sad to say, because I'm saying it publicly, I lost interest a while back.
Sure.
And I can't tell you when or where, but you kind of knew going into the year that it was not going to be a good year because they didn't have much talent there. And then, you know, I think I picked them fourth or fifth in the league to finish, and that was probably overzealous now that you think back. And I thought even a month into it that maybe they were going to finish second in the league because they were playing so well. Then you realize, and I hate this. Let me tell you something. I hate this. Everybody has the answer after the earthquake. honestly, everyone's a seismologist after the earthquake.
We knew it was coming.
Yeah, and shut up. If that's true, shut up.
Exactly.
And then if I'm the same way, tell me to shut up because I thought, and I'm admitting it now, I was totally wrong because I thought this team would be better after the first month. And then I kind of started having alibis for the team. And I never have alibis for the team because I could, you know, I have no dog in the race. And then you kind of see that they're not that good. And then you kind of have to say, God, was I wrong in thinking this team was going to be good?
You thought they were going to be good a month into it?
Halfway decent enough to finish second.
Second.
I think a lot of us thought that after we saw, but then they didn't play anybody. And the number one rule for me is it's who you play and how you look against who you play.
So you thought even though knowing who we were playing at the time, we still might be okay? Because you said it's really hard to know with bad teams, right?
I gave him the benefit of the doubt, and I can't tell you why. Maybe because it's Sean. Maybe because I thought the team would kind of gel later, and it just didn't happen.
Hopeful?
No.
You're not an emotion. You don't you don't make decisions emotionally.
No, not at all. Not at all. I'm more pragmatic, and I guess I just kind of bought into. I don't even know what I bought into. So I was right for like a week. And then I went wrong. I was wrong for a lot of the time after that. I think I'm right now, and I've been right for about a month.
Yeah.
But it, you know, in between that time, it's like, and I use this analogy. You know, when you're a kid, he's kind of cute, or he's not very good looking. I had a window of cute for like 2 days.
Wow.
And then it went to hell after that.
You want to ride out those 2 days, huh?
And I can't remember those 2 days. I was probably sick in bed.
Yeah, maybe you were just 2 years old or something.
Oh, look at him. He's real cute. Oh, look what happened. Oh, no. But you know what I'm saying? I thought I was right. I was totally wrong, and I couldn't fix it because I didn't know what the hell to say. And, hey, oh, by the way, you might have to keep your finger on that button over there. I haven't cussed
it's
on the show
way
yet.
Over there. I can move over here if you think it's going
to
be like that.
No. When I get kind of animated, I start to think, I got to watch what I say. And I was just wrong. I was totally wrong. And one, because they didn't play anybody. And you think that, okay, these guys have a chance. And, you know, Randolph is going to play well. Williams is going to be good. And then they get hurt. And then you overanalyze. And this team has just been, oh, God. Still the worst team I think I've covered. And I don't really cover that much anymore. Mm. You know, back in the day when I was there every day, the worst team I've covered in 30 years here.
Well, you can't be wrong now, though, because even if they won everything, they'd still, in your book, be horrible, terrible.
Disappointing. Right.
The league is not going to get any better within the next 2 weeks.
No one's snapping their fingers and people are coming in and showing up. No. It is what it is. I think it was just one of those things. If this is the worst thing to happen to the program, everything is going to be fine because it happens from time to time, and this year happened.
How do you think, because I know you would ask, and I think I've heard you ask this question of players from the past, how does what the media says affect the players now? Because I know they don't listen, but certainly their friends, closest friends,
they
are
listen.
Like, dude, that guy's busting all over you.
So what's the question?
Does the negativity of
the media
have any effect on the players if they're being negative?
Good question. I think back in the day, it mattered, or they would pay attention because they read their clips. Back in the day with the newspaper, they could read their clips. Now they go online to read it. I think it affects the coach more than it does the players. And because you're 18, 19, 20, whatever it is, you don't really care.
Really?
Yeah, you don't really care. You know, if you're a sensitive dude, guess what? That's always going to be there.
Okay.
And people who read it, if you're a sensitive dude and you care about it, don't read it. Just don't read it. And you know, the player knows if he's playing well or not.
So?
I think it affects more the fans because how could you be writing negative stuff about this 18-year-old, 19-year-old kid? He's only a kid. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. I'm surprised. Sure. I really. You said back in the day, it would affect them more because they were reading it.
It was reading in the newspaper. Yeah, or yeah.
And now with social media, it doesn't have the same.
Effect. Oh no, it does. Actually, it does more, but because the Twitter now everybody. It's not just the paper.
Right
now, it's people. Because people are doing it. I mean, okay. Jim Bob on 22nd Street or Jim Bob on Orange Grove is saying this guy sucks. Does that make sense? Now you're hearing from Jim. Everybody now is a sports writer. In fact, it's funny. I was with a good friend of mine a week or two ago, and we were at an event, a volleyball event with kids.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking, and we were talking about sports, obviously. And some guy, one of his friends, comes up and started asking questions. And he knew kind of what I did. And everyone thinks that they can do what I do, and more power to them. Facebook has kind of gave them that opportunity to kind of become a sports writer and wax poetic on whatever they know.
Yeah.
And this guy may have been an engineer or whatever. I'll never be an engineer. Guess what? I don't pretend to be an engineer. I don't pretend to be an eye doctor. But every eye doctor party thinks they're a sports writer.
Yep.
So, you know, more power to you. But I've kind of been doing this a long time.
Mm.
Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
Everybody has an answer because they watch it on TV or they do this. I'm not because I see doesn't make me an eye doctor. Just because I, you know, see optics, I'm not a optic engineer.
Yeah. And anybody can be a troll. And I think the difference is too is, and the scary part, because I can just go on here and say something. I think you'll remember half of what I say. Your listeners may remember a little bit more, but
sure.
When you're a writer,
it's there.
Everything is there.
Yeah.
So if you go, I've got great hopes about this team. Mark my words, they're going to be second place.
Yeah.
And then a month later, you're like, boy, that was stupid. Why did I say I was really cute when I was a kid?
No,
right?
No.
Because everybody can hold you to your word. Whereas now, if I just get flippant, I can go, I never said that.
I never said that.
There's somebody in D.C. that says that.
In fact, I talked about that a lot. Because on the radio every now and again, and I said, you remember the time you said this? Oh, I didn't say. No. I heard you. I remember. I remember this stuff. I'm a guy who keeps score.
Exactly.
I remember this stuff. Oh no, I can't remember. You know, no, you did. And now that I'm in this spot, I have to watch what I say because I'm that guy who used to do this. And so I don't try to be kind of stupid on the show. Maybe I am purposely or not purposely, but inadvertently. But I watch what I say. I try to at least watch what I say.
What percentage of the folks that go, hey, you're that guy? How many of them posture and try to let you know they could do your job? Half?
Not very many.
Oh, really?
Out of 10, maybe two.
Two?
Maybe two, but they tell me it's like
in a roundabout way.
No. Let me tell you something. Oh. This is the biggest pet peeve. Okay, so I'm in the middle of a story. Arizona is investigated by the FBI. I get like 20 messages. Did you see this? My story is already halfway written. I said, could you leave me alone? I'm trying to finish my story. I kind of already know this.
I did the same thing to you.
Eight
hours after you already knew.
I'm thinking, could you leave me alone? I'm actually trying to finish the story. Everybody, what's going on? Let me finish my story and then you'll know what I think. Please.
The Beatles broke up, Steve. Yeah, I read about that in the 70s. Thank you so much.
Exactly. That's my biggest pet peeve because I'm online, I'm online a lot and blah, blah, blah. And I'm sitting in front of my computer hammering out the story and I'm getting these people, what's going on? You'll know in 10 minutes when I post this story. Leave me alone. So sometimes I have to go on Facebook. Could everybody just chill out? I'm almost done.
So it sounds like with social media and good, bad, everybody there, it doesn't really affect your job per se, other than it can be a distraction if you allow it. Is that?
To me?
Yes.
If you allow it.
It hasn't changed the way you write. It doesn't change your opinion about the game or anything.
No.
It can be a distraction if you allow it.
True. In fact, over the maybe the course of 3 days here, there was some guy who posted on Facebook about the incident or what's going on with the FBI investigation as it pertains to Sean Miller. He threw some stuff out there. I'm hearing this, blah, blah. I'm hearing this. Right when he hears this, I'm thinking, he's hearing it from whomever. It's not really anybody good. And then he threw off these assertions, and I'm thinking, where in the world are you hearing this?
The Russians.
So I actually was being stupid. Not being stupid. It was stupid.
Naive.
And I posted something on this. Where in the world are you hearing this? I didn't get a response, but other people liked it because I have yet to hear what he was talking about.
Yeah.
And I kind of follow this. And, you know, it's like, you know, last night with you. Hey, Bob, I heard you had linguine with meat sauce last night at dinner. And you didn't have linguine and meat sauce. Where in the hell did I hear this? And why would I say it if it's not true? Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, somebody this week asked me if I was a board member of a particular organization. And I was like, no.
Yeah.
Why'd you hear that? I thought you said it.
Yes. See, exactly. So my point is people can say a lot of different things and then not have any ramifications from it.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Hey, let's go to break before I start having to push that mute button.
No, you're doing great. I haven't hardly heard you cuss much at all.
Yeah, I just got one text from somebody, Bob. You know what they said?
You weren't being snippy or flippant, and you're a nice guy. I don't know.
That's beyond that. No.
Oh,
they could do
worse than that?
They could do my job. They wanted me to let you know that they could do my job.
They could. Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, actually, I know who it is, so he's always thought he could do my job. More power to him. I could work for his boss and make all that money and have a great life.
Awesome.
What people don't understand is we don't make a lot of money here. I mean, in the newspaper business or the media business.
Oh, come on. You guys on the radio make big bucks. I seen the Mercedes you drive.
Yeah.
1947. Yeah.
That was when I was valet parking the Mercedes.
Oh, I didn't even know they had valet parking here.
Yes, valet parking the Mercedes. Would you like your car shined and detailed while I'm on the show?
Wow. No, just let me know if it starts raining because I don't have the top. I got the top down. I got it on all water collection setting.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
When's the last time you were talking about the ponies? When's the last time you went there? A couple weeks ago?
Three weeks ago, yeah.
How often do they race?
Every weekend. I think they're on week 4 or 5 now. They do 6 total. So they're nearing the end of their big meet here. And then eventually they kind of open up, not to run, but to show the simulcast of the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness and then the Belmont in the summer. We're already in mid-March. I mean, the year has gone pretty quickly.
Almost mid-March.
We had winter for that one day last week.
Brr. That was chilly.
And now it's, what, in the mid-80s? I guess this weekend we're going to go to the mid-60s again.
I think it's time to go to San Diego. It's a little chilly there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's going to be chilly for a while. It's always chilly there, except for the summer.
On the beach, it can get a little chilly. We went over last summer. I don't know if I ever told you, there's a dog hotel near Dog Beach. Do you know there's a dog beach?
No. See, that's one of the things that we never ask. Go ahead. Nor care.
But. I brought up San Diego. You followed. I'm just following along here.
Yeah,
you know.
I would never follow you on a trail because who knows where you would
go. Who knows where? Anyway, and it was chilly. I mean, I think we were in June. And we were cold, but they had those really cool scooters that they're talking about doing here. So.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. They've been talking about that for a while, the scooters.
Have they?
Did Kasachek talk about that earlier today?
He's against it.
Yes, I heard that last night. I think Steve is one of the more brilliant men I've ever met in this town.
Well, he doesn't. He's not a scooter fan.
No, I'm fine with that. I'm not a scooter fan either.
I think if you rode one, you would be. You could play scooter polo.
Guess what I don't do?
Ride a scooter?
Right, so I'm not a scooter fan. You come up with some weird stuff.
That's weird, saying you're not a scooter guy? Or
no, if,
scooters?
Ifs, I don't believe in ifs and buts.
Huh.
If I were a rich man, I would not be talking to you right now, Bob.
Got it. And if you were on a scooter, you'd fall on your if.
Yes, sure. Yes. So you understand what I'm saying. It's like when people play sports or whatever. If that guy would have, guess what he did? He didn't do that. So you can't use if. If I would have hit 5 lottery balls correctly, I would have. No, it didn't happen. So
speaking of odd things, have you recovered from your 5K yet?
Oh, no. I'm still limping a little. Ibuprofen is doing wonders for my foot. I need to get it checked.
Sorry about that. Maybe. Did I read, by the way, on allsportstucson.com or maybe it was somewhere else that the Sugar Skulls, by the way, back to them, are having more tryouts again?
Yes, yes. In fact, that was my story for today.
Is that unusual?
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know if it's unusual, only in that this is the first year, but I found that to be strange that they may have suffered an injury or so, maybe. I didn't ask Jay.
First game.
I got that from the Sugar Souls themselves. They sent a press release out that they'll have a tryout.
Yeah.
March 23rd. Looking for some more people to try out and maybe make the team. The kid who did it, there was a bunch of kids 3 months ago, one kid actually made the team and he's actually on the roster. So there, if you have hope and you can never live without hope, try out for the Sugar Skulls.
You said there was one kid. You mean a local kid?
Local kid, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Who tried out for that tryout.
Nice.
And he made it and he's on the team.
But now I guess they need some more, so they're having another tryout. I just never heard of having tryouts again after you've already had them for the year, made your cuts. But interesting.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure. Well, maybe they're looking for some more local kids. I don't know. But the roster is like a little more than 23, 26, something like that.
That's not a lot. You only have basically, what do you got? 2 teams, 7 members, 5. What? How many are on the field for?
I think 7.
That's not a dumb question. Don't give me that look. That's a good question.
Well, you're 7, 5, 2. What?
So you got offense, defense, and 14, seven extra guys hanging out.
About, yeah.
Wow, that's not a lot of warm bodies, is it?
And you know you're going to suffer injuries at some point.
Right. So you're not, you know, you can't run a basketball team that way.
Yeah. No, so that's kind of cool for people who actually still want to go out there and try to latch onto the team and be part of this fun year, this first year. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. So trials on March 23rd. You need at least $80 cash or credit. To try out. Just no pads, no thing. Just kind of dress up, shorts, cleats, stuff like that. And then they'll put you through the workout.
If they hire you to get your 80 back?
If you're, that's another thing. Probably not. Probably not, but another question I would not even think of asking.
Well, that's why I'm here, Stephen.
No.
To ask, as you say, I'm like ABC 15 from Phoenix. I ask the tough questions.
You ask the weird questions.
I ask the questions that nobody else will.
Because
they're educated.
Because nobody. Thank you very much. That's about right.
Exactly.
That's about right. So where were we talking? What were we talking about earlier?
We went from ponies to.
Oh, yeah. Jay Wells calling in. The next half hour after this break here, talking about the ponies. That's where we're a little confused. It's Mike Wise and Jay Wells. Here we are getting ready for the next game on Saturday. The women play tomorrow, Thursday. Yeah, at the Pac-12 tournament. Let's see if they can get by the first round. They've done a fantastic job this first year. Adia Barnes can't get enough praise. She was not named Coach of the Year, but McDonald was named first team All-Conference. Not a shock there.
And keeps breaking records?
Yeah, one of the first, only four players to score more than 700 points in a season in the conference.